Assalamu alaikum, welcome back to Hilal Live. Thanks for watching us on channel 347, also on our live stream www.hilal.tv. Today we discuss the changes in our political climate and how it affects us as South Africans and also people abroad who constantly want to invest and empower South Africans in the process. My panel in studio, I'd like to first welcome Attorney Ihsan Higgins. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to yourself and to the viewers.
Jazakallah so much for joining us. And then just for, because we can do it, we decided to invite another Ihsan, Sheikh Ihsan Talib, into studio as well. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah and shukran very much for the invitation.
My absolute pleasure. The last couple of weeks has been a worrying time for South Africans. And surprisingly, I heard a comment about one of the reports that came out recently is that South Africans are a little more optimistic after the elections. However, many South Africans at the same time are not feeling that optimism when it comes to our elections. Maybe I should start with Sheikh Ihsan Talib first as well. Tonight we want to discuss, and we're opening up the WhatsApp line as well for our viewers. You're welcome to join us, 079-085-2511. Let us know your thoughts on the WhatsApp line. We'd like to discuss what is our Islamic obligations post the elections. And in a recent lecture that Sheikh delivered as well, you made some very valid points. We've now seen the cabinet being elected. We're still going through quite a few of the GNU back and forth. But in Sheikh's opinion and from your view, how should we as South Africans look at, as Muslim South Africans, how should we look at the way things have unfolded?
Jazakallah khair. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Shukran Luqman. For us in the first instance, the anxiety, alhamdulillah, I think has now subsided a little bit. We've kind of emerged out of that process of uncertainty and waiting and not knowing what's going to happen. But during that process, of course, we've also somehow lost any opportunity to kind of add, you know, to the anxiety with all the speculations that were going on around the GNU, around, of course, the whole process that somehow was not a coalition or was not a grand coalition or was a GNU and so forth. And so I think it is important for us to continue to realize that this is not something that happened within a vacuum. This is something that has a very definitive historical process that brought about this situation, right? And so from a theological and from a faith perspective, this is fundamental. Mm-hmm. And so these things don't fall out of the sky. Mm-hmm. These things don't pop up within a vacuum. Mm-hmm. These things are the cumulative consequences of what and who we are.
Absolutely. I think it's very valid points that Sheikh has brought up as well. And maybe I should bring in Ihsan in on this as well. From civil society, how do we move forward? How do we, you know, retrain our brain? Because we had a very different way of thinking prior to the elections and what we anticipated to happen. All of that has now upset the apple cart to a point. From civil society, how do we look at it as SA Muslims?
Yeah. From a civil society perspective, I think firstly, the entire process, the election process, has been a very good education for South Africans. I think those, especially people that were very apathetic when it comes to politics, I mean, it was in your face. It was in the media. It was in social media. It was all over. Mm. All you heard was politics, you know, people and vying for votes, support, campaigning, T-shirts, alcohol, you name it. Politicians were doing what they can to actually get people's attention. Mm-hmm. And of course, much anticipated, the activists got involved. Some activists wanted to become politicians as well. And of course, they also went to put their names forward. And of course, so there was a big education process throughout the election period.
Right.
Then, of course, the ANC getting less than what they anticipated, getting their 40% as opposed to a majority. And, of course, the talks about coalition vis-a-vis GNU. That also intensified the education campaign for South Africans as a whole. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we now understood who's going to be in politics and who's not going to be in politics. Mm-hmm. But of course, people were still concerned about who's going to do what.
Of course.
And of course, as Sheikh said now, we now learned, you know, who's going to be in what positions, so that anxiety isn't there anymore.
Right, right.
But now, of course, we have to live with the disappointment of who is there. Mm. And of course, our speculation at this point in time as to the ability of a particular minister or deputy minister to do the job.
To deliver, yeah.
Because that's what people are concerned about. For it sure. Doesn't matter who's in the driving seat. Will there be a delivery? Mm. And I think this is exactly where civil society comes in. Mm-hmm. Because now we have a duty to keep people accountable.
Of course.
And the beauty about South Africa is that you can actually hold politicians accountable. Mm-hmm. You have countries like, and I'm going to mention Turkey, where activism is frowned upon.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you have Abdullah Öcalan from the Kurdish community, he was sent to jail on Imrali Island for being the activist.
Right.
And nobody can even visit him. Mm. But South Africa, that doesn't happen. Mm. We don't have situations where we are so oppressed that we can't actually call out errant politicians or even an errant president. Mm. So I think this is the opportunity for activists to shine and also to encourage more people and more South Africans to become activists so that we can hold politicians and bureaucrats accountable for service delivery.
Inshallah. Sheikh, I want to bring up, when it comes to lessons learned from the teachings of our Holy Quran on how we as South African Muslims cope with the current situation and how do we cope better going forward? What are some of the lessons that we can learn from the Quran or from, various scriptures on how to better live our lives with the current situation?
Yeah. So I think in the first instance, it's very important to take that lessons-based outlook and then almost craft the conversation about what are our obligations.
Okay.
Right. So when we look at the notion in our fiqh, for example, of what does it mean to be a citizen? So there has been, this is a new phenomenon, a new development. There has been the fiqh of citizenship, for example. So what does it mean to be a citizen? What are your duties and your responsibilities? And so scholars like our own teacher, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, also the elderly statesman like Sheikh of our Sheikh Rashid al-Ghanouchi, who is 8 years in jail in Tunisia right now. You spoke about the people who are jailed in Turkey. Turkey is the country where you have the vast, the leading country in terms of jailing of journalists is Turkey. Mm-hmm. Is the highest number of journalists in jail in the world is Turkey.
Wow.
So when you talk about how the development of the fiqh of citizenship has gone, there are three tiers and legs to it. There's a beautiful article also by Sheikh Imam Rashid Omar on this in the Al-Qalam recently. They are premised on three fundamentals. Number one is justice, because the entire edifice of the Sharia is based on justice. Number two is about mutual consultation, shura. How do you apply consultative processes for decision-making? So decision-making based on shura. And then also accountability. So these are the three fundamental principles which form the edifice, which is about governance.
Right.
Now, governance is a topic which is not really kind of broached in the Muslim community.
Correct.
So our conversation that we had also was, if we're going forward, we know all of these three things, maybe we hear about it a lot. But now there's a principle that says, an adage that says, we only know what we learn through doing. Mm. It's when we do these things. Right. Where do we get the opportunities to actually implement these things? But one thing in terms of going forward, that is for sure, in the same way, as I've mentioned earlier on, the Quranic principles are absolutely crystal, fundamentally clear, is that when you do not hold your people in power or in positions of responsibility, when you do not hold them accountable, the divine decree is absolutely crystal clear. Corruption shall spread through the earth.
Of course. Yeah.
This is Quran. This is scripture, revelation. And so then going forward, we then have I would say, our jobs cut out for ourselves.
Right.
For example, now in Parliament, and you must guide me, Zizi Kodwa, for example, this is a person who is now in a process of
being held accountable for
corruption.
Yeah.
The ANC's step aside rule was not upheld in this particular instance of his. He's sitting in Parliament right now. Mm-hmm. So what do we do as citizens? But that's, as I've said, the latest information that I have about him. I don't know if there has been a change in that status quo. The question would be, how do we as South African citizens respond to that particular instance in terms of accountability and holding government accountable?
I want to bring up very quickly, before we take a break, and maybe for us to think about as well, we're looking at a government like Kenya at the moment that are going through so many protests over a tax bill that they're not happy about. And you know, I'm not saying we need to go and burn down Parliament, because the last burning hasn't been fixed. That hasn't been fixed as yet, so we can't do any more damage. But at the same time, it's the people that have uprised and spoken and been heard at the same time, to the point that the president has now cancelled the bill. You know, do we need more of that in our society, in our country, or do we have other alternatives? Something to think about just before the break. When we come back, do join us on the WhatsApp line, 079-085-2511. We'd like to hear your opinion. We're chatting to Sheikh Ihsan Talib and attorney Ihsan Higgins in studio. Thanks for watching us on Hilal TV. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Hilal Live. Thanks for joining us. We have the WhatsApp line open, discussing a very important topic about how we as Muslims in South Africa move ahead with regards to the current political climate. Do join us on the WhatsApp line, 079-085-2511. We'd like to hear your opinion, your questions, your thoughts. We've got Sheikh Ihsan Talib in studio. Jazakallah once again, Sheikh, for joining us. And then also Ihsan Higgins, who always comes in on a Wednesday to chat to us as well. Thank you so much for coming into studio. Before the break, I mentioned a question about looking at a government like Kenya, that the community, the population has made their voice heard with their protest actions, to the point that the president has now cancelled the tax bill that he was going to implement. Should we be doing more of that?
I think we definitely should be doing. And I mean, it's not like we don't have the tools or the history or the experience. We've always been, I mean, as oppressed communities, we've always had the ability to organize under very, very difficult circumstances. I mean, we've had the precedents of 1976, 1985, where there was no social media, there was no channels of communication like cell phones and things like that. But we organized. Yeah. If people said we're going to meet on the corner of Thornton and Klipfontein Road this afternoon,
we were there.
Everybody was there. There were people were there in their thousands. But I think people operated from a position of principle at that time. Mm. Today, we decide or we choose which principles we allow and which we don't. I mean, we go out in our droves, thousands, hundreds of thousands, when we march for Palestine. Mm. People have all the garb on, they have the flags, the flying. And then at the same time, those very people that march during those marches, they invite people who's actually advocating for the genocide in Palestine. Mm. Parties that support it. Parties that have come out and said, well, we support the two-state solution and all that. And almost like, and Israel has the right to defend themselves. They invite people like that to their functions, to their Muslim functions. Now you wonder, on what principle did those people think about a principle first, or did they now just look at the 30 pieces of silver that those people will now be giving them at some point in the future, may or may not? But they abandoned the principles for the 30 pieces of silver. And I think maybe that's where we as activists, we need to maybe start working with our people, making them understand certain things, working with our young people, letting them understand principles. Because once they start understanding principles, then they will be in a position to make better decisions in terms of who they fraternize with.
Absolutely. Very good point you've brought up there. Sheikh Ihsan, maybe if you could touch on that as well. And one of the things we've noticed, and many people have brought up, is that when we have these rallies, when we have our protest actions, when we have our little gatherings to support the genocide or to support our brothers and sisters against the genocide that is happening in Gaza at the moment, we've used it as an Instagram moment. You know, we use it as a social media moment. Where do we start drawing the line and, you know, being more proactive and take notice and cognizant of what is happening in Gaza at the moment?
Yeah. So I think the point Hassan raises is our responses appear to be emotional. Mm. Right? We are emotionally driven on a particular point when something happens. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, we kind of react, and we probably do not rationalize what is the basis for our action. We probably do not ground our decisions that we make on the basis of values, right? And so this point we made about the fiqh of citizenship, the foregrounded value is justice, because this is the preeminent value of the Quran. Mm. The preeminent value for all of revelation, all of the commission of every prophet throughout history and throughout humanity, and for every religion, which Allah refers to as this mizan, this balance, has always and forever only been justice. Mm. That's Allah's own explicit reference in the Holy Quran, right? So in addition to justice, it's about the notion of making decisions. How do we make decisions? Mm-hmm. So the question arises, how do we conduct our affairs as a community? We have structures, we have organizations such as Masajid. Mm-hmm. We have organizations maybe as Islamic institutions. This is what we have. What is the value and the place? What is the premium that we place on the value of ethics and justice?
That's a very good point.
What is the premium we place on ethics and justice?
Very good point.
What is the premium we place on taking decisions based on consultative process? Mm. That's in Masajid. Mm. And then you're coming about Mahasaba. Are we holding one another accountable? Do we even see Masajid, Islamic institutions, diligently having a governance sort of principle of disclosure of financial affairs? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So these are all those things which, as a result of us ritualizing our faith, this is the problem. When we ritualize our faith, there's no, the conversation of values is almost non-existent.
Right.
Because we ritualize everything.
Right.
Whereas if the rituals are there, as the Quran deals with it, to bolster and to amplify values, then we may go back to the point, as Ihsan said in the past, when we had the call towards a point of let's say opposition against the injustice, etc., bearing testimony, mm-hmm. bearing witness, that we may inshallah begin to see the resurrection of the responses of people.
Brilliant. I've got a WhatsApp that's come through that we can read out at the moment. It says, "Assalamu alaikum. I think we as South African Muslims really knocked our heads very hard during this election. The imams should start propagating unity and rally the Muslims together as a strong united body to be reckoned with. Then we can achieve something politically for the Muslims." It goes to the points that Sheikh has mentioned as well. One of the points I'd like to raise when it comes to one of the very important topics that we cannot, look past is we in South Africa can only do so much. We rely on international trade, international community to be part of what we do in South Africa and to maybe for our guys to trade internationally as well. Maybe I can start with Ihsan first on this point. How has this election affected or if anything enhanced the way we communicate with the international community? Well, and I'm speaking more the Islamic international community.
Okay, that's a different question. Because I think, let's speak about the international community first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think we are all led to believe that the international community is watching us based on whether the rand goes up or down. I think South Africans must do what they do best and stop reading the mainstream media. Because the mainstream media makes it seem as if you don't do it in a certain way,
right,
then the international markets will react.
Good point.
I think we need to do what we do best.
Mm. We often refer to the Moody's ratings and things like that.
I mean, all the poor and all this type of rating agencies. Yeah. I think they've threatened so many times, they're going to downgrade us, they're going to put us in the gray area. All these things we get threatened with all the time. But does it affect? How does it affect that person who's working hard that can't make ends meet?
Of course.
I think we need to get past that and do what is good for our communities and our families.
Inshallah.
and stop listening to the noise.
Of course.
We need to focus, but hopefully, inshallah, we can have a little bit more talk on that issue. I don't think we have enough
time. You have time, unfortunately. Yeah. Sheikh, if I can get your response on that.
So I concur. The issue of the tools and these, in a sense, almost like, let's call it weapons, is being weaponized by global Zionist capitalism. Mm-hmm. Global Zionist capitalism weaponizes this in terms of a narrative, right? So you'll be gray sort of scaled, or you'll be placed into a gray zone, or whatever, downgraded, etc. And the very people in this particular instance right now, which was a key component of the Muslim kind of narrative, as well as South Africa, as well as the government, didn't work out that great for the government at the time, was the Palestinian question. This is a fundamental existential question of how the change of global Zionist capitalism has been exposed unprecedentedly. And so the tools that they use, as Ihsan is saying, to almost in a sense threaten and to browbeat and to psychologically barrage, especially third world countries, is all of this stuff that we're referring to. That doesn't mean that economic principles are not important. That doesn't mean that, yes, I would agree with Ihsan, it's not about Muslim countries and non-Muslim countries and trade, Islamic trade. It's about global trade. Mm-hmm. It's about how global modes and currents, but this is the question about how also as South Africa being part of BRICS and how that ties into the whole notion of the ability to withstand the pressures, etc. So for us, I think it is critical to work on the ground. We have to work on the ground as society. If we do not work on the ground, we're gonna further have a deterioration of what we have currently. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming into studio. I think it meant for fascinating conversation, and I think it gives our audience a better perspective on how to look at things going forward as well. Jazakallah so much. Have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
And that's all that we have for you for Hilal Life for today. Do join us tomorrow between 5 and 6 from the Cape Town team, Sohail Barnes, Mohammed Parker, and from myself, Luqman Shadrach. Have a great evening. Assalamu alaikum.